welcome. This is God Is In This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God Is In This.
Welcome on this snowy Sunday in January. I'm Jennifer Massica, your guest speaker today, and while we were not able to meet in person together for worship due to the weather, I'm happy to be here virtually to share with you my thoughts today. Our scripture this Sunday is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 29 through verse 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptized with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by, and he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." Two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So I'm not a scripture expert by any means, but in reading and researching about this passage in John for today's sermon, I learned some really interesting things about it that I wanted to kind of talk about first as a foundation for today's sermon. This is an interesting passage because it contains the first words captured in the Bible that Jesus spoke. Three short, simple statements. What are you looking for? Come and see. You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, or Peter. This passage also contains some big statements, testimony, if you will, by John the Baptist, including the only time in the Bible that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. a phrase that is often used so commonly in our conversations about Jesus. It's hard to believe it's only found here, uttered by John. Let's start with John and what he's doing in this passage. John himself didn't realize that Jesus was the Son of God at first. So he knows that he will need to tell people if they are to believe. And he knows it's only his word, his testimony, that will convince others. He starts by declaring that Jesus is the final sacrificial lamb who will pay for sins by calling him a Lamb of God. And it's such an interesting phrase. He doesn't talk up Jesus as a strong warrior to fight for us, or using some other animal references that would invoke power like a lion. But he rather likens him to a lamb, an animal that is routinely used for sacrifice. It's a pretty dark way to start his testimony. He then tells people that Jesus is eternal, that Jesus came before him, even though Jesus was born after John, and that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, he calls him the chosen one. Is what John said enough? The next day, he again refers to him as the Lamb of God, getting two disciples to then follow. The early followers of Jesus who heard what John said and chose to follow him had to believe what he was saying, and more importantly, had to believe that what John said was what they needed and wanted. That Jesus would not be that hero king to save us via strength and battle. No, he would be a lamb, gentle, vulnerable, sacrificial. So let's pivot to the other part of the passage, Jesus's words. There are many of them in this passage, but they're impactful. The very first words of Jesus written in the Bible said, in response to him noticing two disciples following him, "What are you looking for?" He doesn't greet them or ask them who they are or how he can help them, but rather a simple and yet quite profound question. What are you looking for? You know, I think about this in my own life all the time. When my husband rifles through the junk drawer, when my kids stare blankly into the refrigerator, when the dog scratches under the couch, we are all looking for various things in life. But how often do we sit down and think about what we want for our life? Why do you think Jesus asked this question of the disciples? Perhaps to be sure they followed him for the right reasons and that he was the right person to lead them? Perhaps to force themselves to question more deeply? Of course, the disciples don't answer him and rather ask him, where's he staying? A quite logical question if they plan to follow him. And he responds, come and see. Again, a simple statement. And we see this concept of come and see throughout our time with Jesus. He welcomes his followers into his life to spend time with him, to see what he means through what he does. He invited them and all of us on a journey of faith. We may not see it all or see it right away, but we follow and see a path that opens our eyes. Of course, many of these early followers saw quite a lot. Miracles, preaching his sermons before crowds, his death and resurrection. For those today, seeing is a lot harder. And finally, Jesus speaks to Simon and gives him a new name, Cephas in Aramaic or Peter in Greek. Both words mean rock. Jesus is telling him that his life will be different now. He will be the rock, the foundation on which Jesus builds his church. So, a short passage with a lot of stuff in there. John proclaiming to those who would hear him the truth of Jesus, inviting those who seek forgiveness from sins, hope, and peace and salvation. Not a warrior, but a lamb. Jesus asking us what we're looking for, inviting us to come and see with him and calling Peter and others to be the rocks on which we build foundations of grace and mercy and love. Heavy stuff. So tomorrow, January 19th, is Martin Luther King Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which commemorates the life and legacy of a man, a preacher, a spokesperson for the civil rights movement, who used nonviolent protests as a way to pressure for legislation to address racial discrimination in this country. Now, myself as a Gen Xer born in the 70s, I learned about the civil rights movement in school, but I never saw firsthand the brave actions of people like MLK who started that process. But I have seen the outcomes and the benefits. King was a preacher, so much of what he spoke about and the actions he took were rooted in his faith and following the teachings of Jesus. When King delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he talked about how we at that time were 100 years removed from the Emancipation Proclamation. But this nation had not lived up to her promises. He called out complacency and gradualism and the need for action. But in his words, as strong as they were, calling this country to care for all her citizens, he reminds his followers and all those listening, quote, "In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force." He knew his audience was weary and frustrated. And there was a growing movement at that time of violence that was born from this futility. King knew that he was at a tipping point and could either foment hostility or he could urge his audience to take a path similar to that which Jesus urged, to be a Lamb of God. So that brings us to today. And King could very well have given that same speech today, and it would resonate just as powerfully. In fact, maybe even more so. We are living in challenging times here in the U.S., and as the rhetoric grows angry and actions become aggressive, I would urge everyone to take a moment to pause, to breathe, and to listen to the teachings that have been given to us by Jesus himself, that which we hear echoed in the speeches of Martin Luther King. When Jesus asked, "What are you looking for?" he meant it to be introspective. And today, if we ask our adversaries, our neighbors, our family, "What are you looking for?" In this world with all the social media posts and the news videos and magazine articles and bumper stickers and yard signs, what are you looking for? Look deep into your heart. Think about MLK's dream and what it was. It was that his children could play in peace with other people's children, that all people are created equal. As John proclaimed, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was never meant to be a conqueror. He has provided us with his words and his guidance on how to create a world and live in that world with love and peace and grace for others. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives several stories to hammer home his point on how we should act. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So very simple and direct. He didn't direct his followers to cast judgment on others, to punish those who did not follow their defined rules, to define, divide, and diminish people. No, his message was to all people, not us, not them, not those people, all. He said, feed the hungry, invite in the stranger, care for the sick, visit those in prison. Sounds like Jesus was a rather woke hippie, a man wandering around in sandals, crashing on friends' couches, eschewing the ruling wealthy elite, preaching love and kindness. Radical stuff. Jesus said, come and see. He walked the walk. He preached and he encouraged others to come with him and see, to be a Lamb of God. Now, I know this seems very simple and easy, but in truth, it can be very hard because we as humans are not perfect. It's hard to be a lamb when it is so easy to get angry, to shout louder, to find fault in others so that you could feel better, to look at others and see their otherness as wrong, to insist that everything and everyone be fair, and fight to ensure that your definition of fairness is followed. Jesus knew it was hard. It was why he asked, "What are you looking for?" So we must stop and think. It is why he invited us to come and see to him, so he could show the way. Why he called Simon to be a rock, a foundation, so that we focus on being the bedrock that others may rest upon. It is why John called Jesus the Lamb of God, so we think about sacrifice and giving ourselves rather than taking, fighting, and winning. I leave you this in closing. Take some time this week to pause. Ask yourself, what are you looking for in your life? Does that align with the teachings of Jesus? And think of one thing you can do or already do that helps move forward the teachings of Jesus. Something simple, like helping a neighbor clear snow from their walkway or donating food to your local pantry. It could be standing up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. It can even be not doing something, like thinking about what we say and do that may cause hurt and division, and instead think of what we can say or do that lift up others and support those who are vulnerable. If we each take a small step, a moment, together, we can do amazing things. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit BethanyFirstChurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.